Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
This is an encore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with my co-host, Hall of Famer, Miss Leanne Whippin. Dave and Chris are back there in the back somewhere doing something. Who knows? We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef the way nature intended. We're going to tell you a little later in the show. They've got another 10 days on their special for Barbecue Nation listeners. We've got Brad Polacek, the owner and pitmaster of Redbeard Seasonings. And if you look at the video, you'll understand why it's named that. And so actually my beard used to kind of be like that, but as you get older, you'll see these little streaks of gray and then you'll decide not to imbibe. Anyway, Brad, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here, and I appreciate you guys having
me. Of course.
No problem. You met Leanne at the NBBQA convention and you were down there taking it all in. But the first question I've got for you is, what prompted you to get into the seasoning business?
It's kind of by a weird circumstance, I guess. I've always enjoyed barbecue and grilling. During the pandemic, we actually started at the beginning of the pandemic, and it was kind of a joke amongst family and friends. Hey, I bet you can't sell that. So it went there to us kind of, I'd always just thrown stuff together at home to put on the meat that we were cooking and had no idea what the recipe was, no idea how much of what was in it. So we went through the process of developing the actual recipes so that we could, produce the stuff in the batches. Started doing it at home under the Ohio Cottage Law first for about 6 months. And then at the 6 month mark, we decided it was time to seek out a co-packer. Start doing the labor intensive part of the work for us. So
I've never heard about that. The Ohio cottage law. What is that?
Ohio has a cottage food law that allows you to produce certain types of food or baked goods from your home without doing it like in a commercially approved kitchen. There's just the difference being the way that the product is labeled. There's a lot of stipulations on what you can and can't produce and sell retail for under the cottage food law.
That's interesting. Do they have one?
Heard of that actually, because I always wondered when I went to little fairs and festivals how they can get away with just their name slapped on a label that they made at home and limited ingredients, if any at all. And I'm like, is this really allowed? And I had heard about that, the cottage food law. So it's different state to state.
It is, yes. Yeah, the Ohio, there's, I don't know exactly what the list is of things. The concoction of dry processed seasonings and herbs is one thing that's on the list as far as the cottage food law stuff goes. So,
well, that would make sense because really you're not cooking anything. You're just blending. So do they have that in Florida, Leanne?
You know, I don't know. I'm sure they have some law about it. I haven't looked into it, but they have lots of fairs and festivals around here. And I do see a lot of, you know, like pepper jellies and that kind of thing and honey and that, you know, so they must have some sort of law. I don't know.
That's interesting. So once you got your first batch, you know, mixed up and ready to go to market, what was your next steps, Brad?
The hard part was finding a co-packer. Obviously, being a small company at the 6 month mark in, you know, we weren't producing thousands of bottles. So we had to find a company to work with that had a lower minimum order quantity as far as the pounds or the price goes. So we started with three original blends, our steak and brisket rub, a pork rub, and a spicy chipotle. Got those into some local stores, boutiques. We did some local shows around the area here selling them. Once we got in with the co-packer, then we were able to start putting out some new blends, putting some new ideas together. We redid our labeling design, kind of jumped into the more professional realm of things from a quality standpoint, as well as the, you know, the branding aspect of the side of the business. So
when you were doing this, when you were mixing them, I was involved in this stuff a long time ago. Leanne's currently going huckledy buck with pig powder, but did you, I've never asked anybody this question, but did you figure out your formulas with cups, with ounces? The co-packers and mixers, they like it in grams. At least the ones up here did. Did you do the metrics on that, or did you just say, okay, we've got an ounce and a half of, you know, salt or whatever, and then let the co-packers do the math?
The first blends that we did was all like cups, tablespoons type deal. And he's like, listen, if we're going to do this, it's better to do them in grams. So as we went, he was able to do the conversions for us. But we started off with, when we were introducing the new blends, we'd measured everything out by the gram, into the metrics of a 5 pound batch as like the base recipe. Cause the co-packer that we used said that was the easiest kind of threshold to be able to scale up to to hundreds of pounds of stuff at a time.
Right.
So I got a little bit of a math lesson on how the conversions works, and it's something you don't think about until you have to do it. So
did you get a little scale?
I did. I had my little counter and we got the recipes developed.
And the thing is, you got to think with the co-packer, they're using a particular brand, you know, paprika or whatever it is. And so that changes everything. So when you gave them the weights in the, you know, whatever tones or whoever you use, did they have to buy tones in order to do it? Or did you have to use their spices?
Initially, we bought everything locally. Now we're in the process. They have an R&D bench that they can do. If we have a base recipe, we can provide that to them, and then they do it with the ingredients that they source regularly. That way it keeps everything consistent.
Right, right.
It's all the way through the final production stage. So yeah, it was a little curve. I mean, I didn't really have any intention on scaling anything with the business, and it just kind of took off, and here we are. So
are you able to do this full time now? I notice you've got a Thermo King shirt on there, so you must work partly as someplace else just for right now.
Yeah, I work full time in logistics and operations for a trucking company right now. Probably we started doing catering last year. So between the seasonings and the catering thing, we're pretty close to making a full-time gig out of it. We had the shows that we do last year compared to this year, we've doubled the amount of stuff that we're doing. The catering stuff is taking off very, very rapidly. So I think it's going to be a full-time thing here pretty soon, within the coming months for us. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Just make sure you've got all your numbers in a row, because both Leanne and I have seen folks that, you know, think they're ready to make that big jump, and they make the jump and there's a couple things pop up on them, and then all of a sudden
they jump ship.
They jump ship. Yeah. Yeah.
Nerve-wracking thing to go through the planning stage, I guess, of that, from transitioning to, you know, from working full-time to doing your own thing full-time. It's put a lot of thought and planning into it, and there's a couple more things that got to happen first, but I think by the end of this year it'll be a full-time thing. So
I'm go ahead, Leanne. I'm sorry.
No, I said that's great, it's wonderful. I love to see people, entrepreneurs, and, you know, making it, you know, for themselves with their products. It's great.
When you just said a couple things got to happen, I wonder how many times that phrase has been said in the spice business.
Yeah, that would be trademarking. Attorneys.
Attorneys, copyright, distribution, all that.
Protection.
You'll get there, my friend. You'll get there. What's the biggest thing you've learned so far, Brad?
I think the biggest thing, from a learning standpoint has just been the industry in and of itself. You hear a lot of people, you know, there's a million seasonings and sauces out there on the market.
Right.
How do you fit in? Excuse me. How do you fit into that way? Our principal, I get, my dad owned a business growing up and just retired a couple of years ago. I've relied on his expertise and his business advice from financial standpoint, operations standpoint, a lot to kind of guide me on how to get to the next step. It's been the biggest thing, I guess, is just the industry. There's a million products out there. How do we get ours in there? And our philosophy has just been boots on the ground. And I've been going to stores, dropping off samples, talking to people. We're scheduling more events this year. The NBBQA conference in Orlando was huge. I learned a lot of stuff from a lot of people down there. It's just, it's a pretty saturated market for us to be where we're at now. Obviously, it's not, you know, $1 million business, but I think that I feel like we're on the right track. We just have to keep pushing and getting our stuff out there and see where things go. So
how do you separate yourself? Like you said, I mean, we've talked about this a lot on the show, and Leanne can verify all this, but you walk into a grocery store now, just a Kroger's or what have you, and where, you know, 10 years ago or even 7 years ago, there weren't that many selections. You had a McCormick, you know, you had a Schilling, you had Emeril, you had a few things like that on the shelf. And now, God, there's a whole aisle full of stuff. So right. How do you differentiate your products at Redbeard from everybody else?
So we're trying to do through the development process to come up with things that are not on the market, or that there's not very many of on the market.
Mm-hmm.
Just to offer people something different, to give them a reason to try our products. And then with the intention of, okay, we like this, now we'll try this.
Got it. we're talking with Brad Polacek, owner and pit master at Redbeard Seasonings. We got to take a break. We will be back on Barbecue Nation with Miss Leanne, Brad, and myself right after this. Hey, everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool, Heritage Steel Cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it. This is an encore. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. If you'd like to find us, we send up a flyer twice a day, so you can always find us that way. But you can go to our website, which is barbecuenationjt.com, or you can go to one of our Facebook pages, our Twitter accounts. Leanne's big on Instagram. The show has an Instagram page too, but Leanne does much more than we do. But anyway, you can find us out there. And if you've got a message you want to get to us, just send it our way and one of us will get back to you. We're talking with Brad Polacek, owner pitmaster of Redbeard Seasonings. I want to jump back, Brad, and talk a little bit about your military service. It says on your sites and stuff that you're a veteran owned, which we talked about before the show, and you also support veterans. How did going into the military and the tour of duty you did over across the pond, as they say, how did that work into you deciding to do what you're doing now?
It kind of honestly was unrelated. There's things that you learn while you're in the military that prepare you for everyday life, you know, the discipline, the regimented schedules. The motivation, things like that, that apply to any type of business, but it was kind of unrelated to the seasoning thing that came a few years after I was out of the service at the time. So,
okay. So here's another question then for you. Who gets to play the drill instructor at your house? Is it?
we have 4 little ones at home. So most of the time,
oh my gosh, 4. Wow.
But yeah, mom does a good job of playing the drill instructor. Sometimes I get my turn, sometimes, and sometimes it's the kids, you know, ganging up against us. It just depends on the day.
I like that last one. I mean, that when our daughter and my wife used to gang up against me, hell, I never stood a chance. I just throw my hands up and go outside. I never did that. How involved is your wife in Redbeard?
She's kind of the behind the scenes taste tester. She, her expertise is in the kitchen cooking area. She does all the baking, the, all that kind of stuff. She's pretty darn good, makes up some good dishes. So when we try and come up with a new blend, or we're trying to come up with a new idea, with the seasonings as well as like content creation stuff, she's kind of the mastermind behind that, as far as she'll tell me, oh, that's good, or, oh, nope, not going to work. Just start over from the beginning.
Right.
Yeah, she does help a lot. She also helps out with shows and stuff as well. So got a lot of support from my family and the background.
I think, and Leanne can, because she's already in this, but, you know, boots on the ground, especially when you're starting, you're just trying to get a product out there. I think that is so important. I mean, we've had people on the show and they mix stuff up and all of a sudden they want a co-packer. They want major distribution. Well, that takes time and money, but if you don't build a fan base, you might not be that successful.
Right. Yeah. That was our focus from the start, was the local. We're in a couple Ace Hardwares locally, local boutiques, grocery stores. The majority of the locations are in Ohio. I think we're up to 76 locations now. Our second biggest market outside of Ohio is the Eastern North Carolina area. We did some barbecue competitions down there and kind of got in with some people, introduced ourselves. And the boots on ground thing, people like meeting people in person. I think it does a lot better justice from a business standpoint of meeting people, you know, who you're dealing with. You can present them your products and tell them, you know, in person why they should try it. I think it's more of a valuable, builds more of a valuable relationship than just kind of, you know, blasting
and
out.
Ultimately, they're selling the rub for you, you know? So when somebody walks into a store and says, hey, what should I get? They're going to go and push yours because they have that relationship with you. I agree. And I still continue to this day, boots on the ground. You know, if I go into a new grill shop, I always have my pig powder, and I totally agree with you. And even if you can even bring a sample of it on the food, so they know the flavor profile after it's cooked on the meat, you know, the wow factor there, then they're confident in selling something that their customer is going to be happy with. And, you know, what goes around comes around. So.
Sure. Yeah. When I was involved with this, we did the same thing. I did some samplings in some stores and went to a couple of local food shows in Portland, which you all have done. And that was the only way I really got it out the door, was that it's kind of a well blazed trail, but it's about the only trail you can use for a successful venture to get it out there. Unless, again, you're McCormick or Schilling and they just put it on the shelf, whatever they come up with, they just put it on the shelf. And because they,
well, they can also do a great price point too.
Yeah. Well, they,
yeah.
When you're mixing up batches, Brad, are they 300 pound blocks? Not like a building block, but are they 300 pound units, 100 pound units? Do you know how much they're mixing at one time?
We're doing a couple hundred pounds of each seasoning per batch right now. We just hit the point to where we don't have any debt in the inventory side of things. So we're ordering smaller batches now at a time. That way it's paid for. I'm trying to not, there may come a point, obviously we don't have any big distribution channels yet, but
sure,
we're trying to keep things to where we're not borrowing more money until we have to. But it's the co-packers very close to us, so we're able to go. I just go up and pick everything up from them when it's done, so we're not paying the shipping as well. Mm-hmm. On that, not on the price point a lot as well too. So
well, it keeps the product fresh too.
Yeah, it does. It really does. It's I made a mistake when I did it, and if anybody's listening and trying to do what Brad and Leanne do, I got like 500 pounds of each one. I had four different ones, and so I had a ton, literally
lot.
a lot, and had it all bottled and ready to go. And then when I decided I didn't want to do that anymore, I still had a whole room full of spices. Smelled good in there, but it took years to get rid of it, and I wasn't going to throw it away, so I just gave it away to family and friends after that. We're going to take another break. We're going to be back with Brad Polacek, owner and pit master of Redbeard Seasonings, right after this. Hey everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to the nation. I'm JT along with Ms. Leanne, and we're talking with Brad Polacek today, owner and pitmaster of Redbeard Seasonings. We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. Now, look, if you want to try some Painted Hills Natural Beef, we've been talking about it for years on the show, this show, and a bunch of other shows I've done. You just go to their website, which is naturalbeef.com, and they've tuned up their online store, right? So you do that, you place your order, and in the bottom left-hand corner, there's going to be a little place where you can enter a coupon or a code, and all you got to do is type in BBQ Nation. That's BBQ and spell out the word nation, and you'll get 15% off of Painted Hills Natural Beef and also pig powder for Miss Leanne herself there. There you go. Leanne's father, who was called Trim Tab, his real name was Jim Tab, he developed it. It won the Best Rub on the Planet Award. It's been used by winning pit masters for over 30 years and is now available online at pigpowder.com. And I use it a lot. In fact, I got to hit her
very,
up.
For very some versatile, more. It is.
Yes, it's very versatile. So,
a little bit of heat, but the heat, it's got a good back heat to it, but not overwhelming. So it does work on a lot of foods, even French fries, in your baked beans, on popcorn, on your scrambled eggs.
It works really well. In fact, I need to get another couple of, I'll order it. I'll pay for it. You know,
no, but that's right.
I got to do that. But anyway, go to pigpowder.com and order some pig powder today. So we're talking with Brad Polacek from Redbeard Seasonings. How big of a discussion was it, Brad, to name the company and the seasonings? Not the individual mixes, but was it obvious between you and your wife that it was going to be Redbeard?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, like the whole beard concept in the United States is a whole nostalgia all in of itself.
Right. And
we were just like, oh, people called me Redbeard all the time because I have a red beard. So I'm like, well, let's just make a Redbeard Seasonings. It wasn't really much of a process. It was just kind of one of those things that was okay, that's it.
Just kind of fell into place.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, Leanne, you could always go Blonde Bomber or something.
Yeah.
No,
I gotta keep it real. My dad, you know, he developed it. He should get the credit.
Yeah.
I stuck a little face on there because, you know, I have a different last name than Tab. So, you know, just to kind of bring it together. But anyway, and I'm not growing a red beard.
That's good. That's good. We don't. That wouldn't look very good on you. I think Brad would agree with me on that. It'd look kind of funky with a big red beard on you.
Yeah, I'd pass on the beard, unfortunately.
I'll leave that joke alone. Anyway, as you're doing your development, your R&D between you and your wife, what happens when you come to a loggerhead, a stalemate on a blend that you think is good, maybe the other people in the household or your R&D team say, no, Brad, that's not it. How do you deal with that? Because that's going to happen if it hasn't already.
Usually my wife wins.
Smart man.
We have a bunch of stuff that we were working on that just hasn't made it there yet. We just kind of put that stuff on the side. We've got 10 blends now, one that's going to be coming out next week. So the goal, I guess, at this point with the size of the business is not to just push out any more products than what we have now. We're going to stay where we're at for a little while and keep things going for, obviously, because of inventory, storage space, production costs, that kind of thing. We have some stuff on the back burner that's just kind of hanging out. So it's there. We need it. We haven't really had too many when there's been something that we were working on that people didn't generally like. It was like, okay, set that aside, or we've made changes to it or put it on the back burner to work, come back and work on later at some point. Because it's not, we're not in a position right now where we need to be pushing out new products. So we kind of have the luxury of just sitting back and waiting on those. We can work on them later or make adjustments as needed.
When you're creating a blend, a rub, whatever you want to call it, how many times through the trial and error process does it take on average for you guys until you get to where you're happy with it?
It's a few at least, because I try and use the same products or the same ingredients our co-packer does, but obviously we don't have the luxury of just getting the stuff from them. Mm-hmm. You give him the idea or the base ingredients and they make up a test batch of it. And then when we get it, we test it out and provide feedback to them. But it's usually, I think we've only ever had one blend that we did that was like two adjustments and done. So
when I'm just curious about this, when they send you sample to try, is it like a 1 pound box? It's gotta be more than just one, 2 ounce bottle or something.
Yeah. You do a 1 pound sample batch every time we make an adjustment or come up with a new idea.
And what do you do with do you use it all up? I'm just curious because when I did it, they sent me 3 pound boxes and you couldn't use it all, if it was a bad blend.
I got a 2 ounce container. You're lucky to get 1 pound. I mean, you can put it on food very easily, a pound, and test it out on different meats, right?
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We get it in. We usually send it out. We've got some brand ambassador people that work with us. We usually give it out to friends and family, people who I know are going to, who I trust to use it and give me honest feedback and not just say, oh, that's awesome, that's great, But I usually give as much of it out as possible, just to get as much feedback as we can. That way we're making sure that we're putting something out that's worth it and we're not wasting our time.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your Pitmaster experience. Did you start prior to going in the military? Were you cooking then, or did you work with your dad when you, like a lot of people did when they were little, if they were at a Weber kettle or whatever in the backyard? How did you develop to where you are now?
Yeah, lots of grilling with dad back in the day. The one time, actually, it's funny, when I was 18, I was lighting up the gas grill on his back porch. And there's a pool. The deck was built up around the pool, and that's where the grill was. And for whatever reason, I had the hood of the grill open, and I started that thing up, and it flashed right in my face. And I went jumping in the pool. I thought I was on fire. But it did take a little bit of a hit on my beard and my facial hair. But it was pretty scary. Thankfully, the only time that's ever happened. But, yeah, lots of time, learning from family grilling back in the day. The barbecue thing really came about about 5 or 6 years ago. And then when the pandemic hit, it was really, everybody was cooking at home, and really deep dove into the whole barbecue thing, probably about three and a half years ago.
I know when the little town that I live in, when the pandemic hit and the lockdowns came on, all of a sudden you could smell the grills and the smokers all over up and down the street, which you never did except at my house normally, but you'd smell them all over the place. And it was like, oh, that's a good sign. I think, It did like that. Did you ever suggest to your superiors in the Army that they should use better quality seasonings on their food?
I wish. That's one thing I don't miss about the Army was the food.
Well, I eat Army food a few times, and I would agree with you on that. In your, do you compete at all? You said you met with some folks down in North Carolina, I think, and you did that. Are you on their team? Or you created your own team now?
We took our own team down there at the time. The first one that we did down there is a non-sanctioned event. There's not a whole lot of KCBS events in Ohio. There's only two this year. We actually have one doing this weekend, Friday and Saturday, in Marietta, Ohio. So we'll be down there for that. We're trying to put another one together for next year that's in the works. And then we're going to be doing a couple of SCA events later on this year, too.
What's your favorite thing to cook?
Probably ribs, pork ribs.
Yeah. Leanne, how many people do you, when we ask that question, do they, is it, a lot of them are diehard brisket people, and a lot of them are rib people. We don't get
everyone has their little favorites.
Yeah. You know,
and it's usually what they do best.
That's true. That's true. You what?
I love to eat brisket. That's my least favorite thing to cook, though.
Yeah. Well, it happens. It happens. It's, when you're evolving into a business owner, a pit master, a seasoning company and all that, you've got to be pretty dedicated to the craft, especially the cooking aspect. So you can tell people, honestly, hey, I use this on steak or a chop or whatever. And it's, it's good. It's good. It works.
The catering thing, people don't realize how much work and time and effort goes into a catering business, specifically doing barbecue food. And that's one thing that that I always tell people when you're giving people quotes and stuff on pricing, it's like, well, if you're going to go to McDonald's and pay $13 for a cheeseburger and fries and a Coke, why wouldn't you pay $14 for, pork and two hot sides? But the catering side of things is really found out real quick. That's a lot of work. I enjoy it. And it's
yeah, but that's where the money is too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've done a little of that, and Leanne's done a lot of that, and it is a lot of work, but like she said, that's where the money is. And that also gets your name out there consistently.
Right. Yeah. We have every one of our the majority of our recipes that we use for our catering stuff, we've tried to incorporate one of our seasonings into that recipe to kind of cross-contaminate the two. That way people are like, oh, that smoked mac and cheese is great. Okay, well, it has the seasoning in it, just to try and keep things connected. Yeah,
like how you said, cross-contaminate. In a good way.
We're going to take another break. We're going to be back with Brad Polacek from Redbeard Seasonings. Hey, everybody, it's JT. I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever's at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it. Hey, everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us, check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on USA Radio Networks and in sundry of stations around and multiple platforms and streaming, and makes my head spin most mornings. It does that. We're talking with Brad Polacek, owner and pitmaster of Redbeard Seasonings. I will say, from the pandemic, Brad, to right now, and doing what you've done, I think you're to be commended, because it's been a tough road for the country in a lot of respects.
it was kind of a, it was kind of, I guess, the scariest time you could think to try and start a business. Mm-hmm. But the reason that, I guess, the avenue or the approach that we took was starting it during the pandemic was there was so many people cooking at home and there was so many people getting into barbecue. Like, I feel like there's more people barbecuing now than there ever has before because everybody hit YouTube and hit the internet to figure out how, you know, how do I smoke a brisket? How do I do this? Because a lot of people were cooking at home and looking for alternative methods. We kind of used that, I guess, to our advantage to launch the seasoning side of things, because it depends on how you look at it. But for us, it was kind of the perfect time, especially locally, in the for a local market perspective, to market our products to everybody. So
I think that made sense, you know, and there was a lot of people. We've had people on the show, and Leanne and I both know people that during the pandemic that owned restaurants. Some of them went away, but the ones that stayed open tried to work with other operators that maybe had closed their business, but the guy that was still in business, you know, leased their storefront property, what have you, made ghost stores out of them, there's a lot of stories like that. So your catering fits right in with that. What's the biggest pain in the ass about the catering business for you?
Just the preparation time. The night we do have a food truck too that we set up occasionally, try and do it once or twice a week here locally. But the biggest benefit to the catering thing is you know when, you know how many people, and you know what you need to cook. It's just the preparation time and getting everything ready. We don't have employees. We're a family-run business, so we do everything from start to finish. And it's just the time aspect of that, I guess, it would be the most time-consuming or the worst aspect of the catering side of things.
And what's the best part of it besides putting the check in the bank?
Just watching people you know, eat the food that you're preparing and having a positive experience with it. I think that's why I like the catering thing altogether, is just knowing that you're providing people with good food to eat and you're getting good feedback. Obviously, if it wasn't good, we wouldn't be here. But I think just the satisfaction of being able to handle an event for someone, they don't have to take care of the food aspect of it. We've got it. And then the feedback from the people that are consuming what you're putting out there.
I think that's a really fair assessment. When you've prepared for 10 people to 200 people, whatever the number is, and you get a few compliments as they're either eating or, you know, headed out the door, something like that, it kind of gives you this warm and fuzzy feeling. Either that or you just had a stroke, one of the two. I don't know. But do you get that sensation, Leanne? Not the stroke part. I know that.
No, you do. It's personal.
It's personal. I think anytime you prepare a meal for somebody, it's personal. Even if it's a peanut butter and you know, sardine sandwich or something, it's personal.
I agree.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, Brad?
Hopefully we end up with getting into some distribution channels for the products, the seasoning side of things. We have some teams that are using our stuff in competition, so hopefully that continues to be a thing and we can get our name out there. The catering side of things, where we live at in Ohio, we live in a very remote rural area, so it's kind of the catering thing, I think, is going to be huge. There's not a lot of options for catering around here, specifically with barbecue catering stuff. So I think the catering thing's going to be the bread and butter of the business. But the goal is also to grow and expand on the seasoning side of things and get in, you know, like I said, all the distribution that we've done has been boots on the ground, going into places, meeting people, handing out samples. We'll continue to do that. And we'll at some point, you know, in the future, in the next few years, start looking at distribution channels. And that's one area that we're obviously not familiar with at all. So that's going to be a learning experience and it's going to be some work, but we're willing to put it in to try and keep growing the business. So
do you have a website?
Redbeardseasonings.com.
Okay. Do you have your catering on there as well?
Yep, catering menus on there. We also started doing corporate gift box type things for companies. That's been a positive thing. All of our catering information, all the seasonings, and the limited merchandise that we have is on the website as well.
I know it's only April, but you have to definitely like get in on the holiday gift packs and start putting together your promos for that, because that's always...
We did gift boxes last year, pick your own, and we sold a ton of them.
Yeah.
So
Good for you. Good for you. You know, Leanne's going to be the queen of QVC here shortly. Did you know that, Brad?
That's out of the bag. Yeah.
I probably wasn't supposed to say that, but.
No, it's fine. We just got the date. So May 21st, Pit Boss. I will be talking about our Pit Boss Portable on QVC.
There you go. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Very excited about it.
If you ask her, Brad, she'll send you an autographed picture too.
That and a dollar will get you 50 cents.
Have you ever thought about your OCO in the Army or something, Brad, that you could send some samples to?
I probably send out too much free stuff. Honestly.
No, you don't. I want to give you a little story on that. So my dad used to go to barbecue contests all the time, and he was constantly giving it away. And I was like, Dad, you're not making any money. And that's what he did. And seriously, I do think that pig powder is where it is today because of him giving it away. I think there was an ROI, return on investment, on that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say I agree with it.
And I agree with that 100%. I think to that point, Leanne, is some of the best, watching my dad and working with him in the pizza business when I was a teenager, I think that sometimes the most underappreciated ROI is not the cash. It's the value of what you're doing to promote your business.
Absolutely. Brad Polacek from Pitmaster and owner of Red Beard Seasonings. We're out of time. I'm sorry, bud, but we really appreciate you being on the show. We wish you a ton of luck with that.
Yes. It's awesome that you took the time. Thank you. Best of luck.
Yeah. I appreciate you on.
We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Until then, remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. So for Miss Leanne, Brad, myself, you take care. Have a great week.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Envision Networks and Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.